Well, good morning. Would you please raise your hand if you have seen the movie The Princess Bride? Thank you. Thank you so much. Please raise your hand if you have not seen The Princess Bride. All right, keep your hand raised. Repeat after me. I promise.
One day.
To watch the spectacular movie. The Princess Bride. Thank you. You may put your hands down. All right. In the movie The Princess Bride, it's so good, friends. You really should see it. It is wonderful. I mean, it's a love story. It's an adventure story. It's a comedy. It's all of the above. You want to see it. It's great. There are two main characters who are introduced at the beginning of the film. There is a grandfather of a sick grandson who is reading the story to his grandson. And so he introduces the first two people, and the main characters are Buttercup and Wesley. And of course, it's a love story, and it's so good. And so as they are introduced, you see Buttercup. She, over and over again, makes requests of Wesley, calling him farm boy. It's a little condescending, right? But she says something like, "Farm boy, polish my horse's saddle. I want to see my face shining in it in the morning." And Wesley says, "As you wish." And then this repeats over and over again. She makes a request and he responds, "As you wish." And after a few repetitions of this, the narrator breaks in and says, "And it was not long before she realized all of a sudden that every time he said, 'As you wish,' what he meant was, 'I love you.' And even more surprising, she realized that every time she made a request of him, what she was actually saying was, 'I love you.' Oh, the purity of love." Of course, the story challenges that love by all the adventures they are to go through, and yet it still holds for both of them. How beautiful. And how much more complicated it all becomes when we are commanded not only to love the person that we adore, but to love the whole world. It's exhausting, isn't it, when we are to love, when we are to do everything that God commands us, because it is too hard to always say to God, "As you wish." We would give our whole life away, wouldn't we? In the story that we hear this morning from Habakkuk, you pronounced that perfectly, Jason. We only read from the prophet Habakkuk once a year, and because of that, I always have to look it up on YouTube of how to pronounce Habakkuk. But here it is once again. And I will tell you, after reading and preaching on this last night, a member of this church came up to me and said, "This could have been written today. It's exactly what we are experiencing today. It's a lament that could pour from any of our lips." This prophet, Habakkuk, is seeing the world collapse around them. Not only because they are a tiny little kingdom of Judah, surrounded by these huge foreign powers who are vying to collect to themselves all the power they can get, but also because the very government of the kingdom of Judah in Jerusalem, the holy city, is itself in these days corrupt. And so what is one prophet to do? And he laments and asks God for a vision. "Show me," he says, "what we are to do. Are I am to keep crying out violence and you do nothing?" And God says to be patient. "Tell your people What to do, says Habakkuk, when all seems lost? Have any of you called out such a lament lately? The whole world seems corrupt, lost to despair and violence. Maybe you've said, I've tried to do my part. But what's the use when millions are starving? When those in power abuse their power for their own gain rather than to serve the people? And so we join the call of Habakkuk, the prayer of Habakkuk, the desperation of Habakkuk. Make it plain, God says. Make it plain to the people as if you were writing it so a runner could read it. I love that image. Yesterday morning, I was trying to find my way along the Wissahickon in Philadelphia, and I tried to read the small sign when the sun had not yet come up. So I get that image. Write it so you can run by and it can be understood. That's what I want, a vision that makes all the sense, that is clear to us. And what we are told in this vision is what is asked of us is faithfulness. Okay, sure, but what are we supposed to do? According to our gospel this morning, what we are told we are supposed to do is to serve God, to obey the commands of God, to serve God as our master. That when our prayers to God come from a place of faith, no matter how small it seems, as small as a mustard seed, even God would obey our wish because it is in keeping with all that God has in mind for us. And that if only we obeyed what God commanded, our world would transform around us. And so we are invited to obey God. To say to God's love your neighbor as you wish. To say to God's feed my sheep as you wish. You know, I've been reading about the history of Epiphany. You all know that Epiphany has been here since 1908. And on Wednesday evenings, starting this week, we're going to be discussing and learning the history of Epiphany rooted in the history of Baltimore. And I was reading a bit of that and how the church, of course, started worshiping in a hay barn by a small, uncertain group of early settlers to this community. And the church was built by people who heard God's call and said to that call, as crazy as it sounded, as you wish. They started as small as a mustard seed. And that growth that came was supported, yes, by the generosity. You all have heard of the Powells. Do you all know the official name of Epiphany? You might not. This is Epiphany Lutheran Church of Powell Narron, because it was a plot of land owned by the Powells. And they gave this land from a sense of faithfulness to what God might yet do in this community, and in thanksgiving to what God had done through this immigrant to transform and build a new community. But it was not only them, but also I read in the history that at some point they did what every church did, which was they started to carry debt. Because, of course, they weren't going to continue worshiping in a barn, but they built a chapel, and then they had to service the debt. And they were worried they weren't going to make it. And so they had 350 worshiping families. And they got pledges from 100 of those families to give 25 cents a week. And 100 families to give 15 cents a week. and the last 150 to give 10 cents a week. Can you imagine that? Now, of course, there's been inflation since 1921, but imagine that. With faith the size of a mustard seed, with what seems like a meager offering, but all you can give. With what seems like small acts of kindness, but it's all you have the energy for right now, God can bring an abundance. God can transform the very world that seems to be falling apart. All God asks for is obedience. Now, I have to tell you, when I use the word obedience or the word obey, I actually cringe a little. It doesn't feel right, because why does God need us to obey God, right? It's like, oh, farm boy, right? And yet, everything that God commands is good. It's as though every time God gives a command, God is like Buttercup, saying, I love you. And every time we receive one of God's commands and we follow through on it, every time we say to God's command, as you wish, we too are telling God, I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.